All right, so you're doing the intro.
I'm all geared up. I'm going to try to do an actual intro and not forget. I have a life-changing moment I'm going to tell you about, too, when we get into it.
All right.
Thank you for listening to the Fields Brothers Show.
Welcome to the Fields Brothers Show podcast. My name is Jeff Fields. I am here with my brother Roger. We are coming to you from the great Commonwealth of Kentucky here in Central Kentucky at Roger's event venue that he has, weddings and other type of events. And we enjoy getting together to talk about the grace of God, talk about the impact of the cross and what a huge difference that made and the freedom that we experience and enjoy on this side of the cross. How's that for an introduction?
It was a little stiff, but it was good. I mean, you hit the main points. I mean, it was sounded a little canned, but I mean, you'll get there.
I didn't have any notes or anything. That was all off the top of my head here.
Glad you didn't read off notes. Hey, can I tell you something about this week that happened?
Yeah, what happened?
I heard a great sermon. I heard your pastor was talking about the prodigal son. Now, I consider myself a little bit of, I don't know if an expert's a word, but pretty familiar with the story of the prodigal son, and we've talked a lot about that in the book and podcast, but he made a couple points I really had not thought about.
Is this the same congregation you've been to?
I'll tell you a second. Okay. So anyway, and he was saying, you know, he talked about the younger brother that messed up his life, came back to dad, you know, embraced him and took him in, and then he talked about the older brother, which we've talked about, who was all upset with everything. And he's made a simple point that no matter what you do, you can't get God to love you any less, which is the younger brother, or get God to love you any more.
Right.
I mean, even though the older son had worked for him, he said, "Everything I have is all yours." And I thought this is a very simple, good point about the prodigal son. Now, the pastor I heard say this actually wasn't a pastor. The one I heard say this was Jeff Foxworthy.
He talked
about the prodigal son. He did a great job. He also said this point, he goes, who is the most upset? I'll ask you this question, Jeff. Who is the most upset that the prodigal son came home?
Well, it was the older brother.
No.
Most upset than the... Well, I mean, there's only... The most upset that the younger brother came home.
Yeah. You stumped, aren't you?
Is this a trick question?
Well, maybe a little bit. It was the fatted calf.
Okay.
So anyway, all right. So
who? I guess I assume who means
a human being. It's a joke.
Yeah, that's a pretty good joke. Okay. I think that's that. Reminds me of the
Foxworthy said that also.
That is pretty good. Phelim Dohertey said when he talks about why the religious people aren't a fan of grace. He said because turkeys don't vote for Christmas either. So he's in Ireland, so I guess they have Thanksgiving over there, but the same reason turkeys don't vote for Christmas. The fatted calf was the most disappointed that...
Disappointed
too. So.
All right. Well, I got a lot of stuff over here, but I'll let you... Let me jump in.
I mentioned on previous podcast, my youngest son, Dawson, and I went to the Network 220 convention part of Atlanta, the greater Atlanta area. Had a great drove down Thursday, came back Sunday, and Roger, I had a life-changing event. Life will never be the same.
Okay.
We stopped by Buc-ee's.
Oh, yeah.
We went to Buc-ee's. My first experience of going to a Buc-ee's, whatever you call those. It doesn't seem quite fair to call it a gas station or something. But
yeah.
So those of you...
I've heard it's fairly good size.
You said you've seen them from the road.
I think it's been a long time. I mean, you don't see them very often. I think they're mostly in Texas, aren't they?
They're mostly in Texas. Wouldn't be surprised if they started there. And there's a new one near Lexington it's kind of the local buzz here lately.
Is that the one you went to?
No. Because it's only like 20 miles down the interstate. Right. You don't normally on a road trip stop 20 miles into it. So we did not stop with that one, but there's one in Calhoun, Georgia, between Chattanooga and Atlanta.
Yeah.
We stopped that on the way down Thursday. Got gas there. It was in between meals, so we didn't eat there, but they have all kinds of food options there too. They're known for their beef brisket sandwiches. So we stopped at the same one coming back Sunday. And that also reminds me of something that I need to talk about that Sunday morning. Had a great experience that Sunday morning. But we stopped by. I mean, it's
like 100 gas pumps.
120 gas pumps.
120 gas
pumps. And like picture a football field just filled with two rows of double gas pumps. I mean, literally, it's probably the length of a football field. Wow. Just the gas part. Then they have this huge store that's probably the size of half a Walmart. And I'm convinced if Buc-ee's would have been around during the first century, I think Jesus would have had another parable added to the Gospels. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who went to Buc-ee's. Right. And it's, now there is
I think you're really going to lose me with this, but go right ahead, give it a shot.
I haven't come up with the exact wording.
All right.
But since that time, I found myself talking to a few other people. I went to Bucky's. Oh, how was it? And I find myself just all
you're an evangelist
enthused.
For Bucky's
I'm an evangelist
now?
For
okay,
Bucky's.
Well,
and so, right. You know, because I kind of knew, but it is overwhelming. It is kind of better than I expected, overwhelming. And so... okay, this might be a bit of a stretch, and you don't want to take the analogy too far.
Yeah,
it would break
would
down
not.
At some point, I would think. But the idea of, you know, something that you're so enthusiastic about that exceeded your expectations, and you just naturally want to tell others, does that remind you of anything else in life?
Oh, I don't know. I guess you're trying to equate this with the gospel, maybe? Buggies?
Well, again, the analogy would break down
at some
point.
We may have to edit this portion out. I don't know.
But anyway, okay, that reminds me, too, I goofed up a month or two ago on our podcast because I had mentioned that we were going to Atlanta, and I had received an email from a podcast listener that let me know that Andrew Farley was going to be preaching at their congregation that Sunday morning after the convention was over.
Okay.
And I mentioned that on this podcast.
Yeah.
But what, and I had kind of forgotten about this, but evidently I didn't go back and listen to him, but I'm sure this podcast listener is correct. When that podcast rolled around and I mentioned that, you know, he's listening to the podcast and he hears me mention, okay, Andrew Farley's going to be preaching that Sunday morning, and he's all excited about hearing the name of their congregation announced on the Fields Brothers show and going to be worldwide famous. And I said something to the effect that Andrew Farley's going to be preaching at some church in the Atlanta area.
Some church, okay.
And so we had a listener a little bit disappointed.
Well, I can see
that
why.
That just said some church. So I want to make up for that.
All right,
here.
Go ahead.
So where he preached Sunday morning and where we attended before we drove back was Woodstock Community Church in Woodstock, Georgia.
I've been to Woodstock, Georgia.
That was Woodstock Community Church in Woodstock, Georgia.
How do you spell that, Jeff? Woodstock.
W-O-O-D-S-T-O-C-K. Woodstock Community Church, Woodstock, Georgia. You know, there's not that many churches in the Atlanta area, of course. There are very few churches in the Atlanta area.
Very few churches in the Atlanta area, okay.
But when I think when we all think of Atlanta churches, you know, there's kind of three that comes to everyone's mind. You know, First Baptist, North Point, and Woodstock Community, you know, are kind of the three that come to mind.
You know, so, a mega church there was as Woodstock Baptist. I have been there. It is huge.
Well, I like Woodstock Community.
Well, I know. Okay. I'm just saying.
We did go there, and Andrew Priest did a great job. It was a lot of fun going there and met with some friends. Had dinner Saturday night with a couple that attend there. The one had invited me and had a great dinner.
Well, that's
so
great. So Dawson had a great time, too.
He really did. Yeah. He had a blast and just meeting everybody and – and then also, you know, hanging around the hotel lobby quite late on Saturday night.
Yeah. A partying bunch, grace people there at the hotel on Saturday night.
It really was. One funny thing that happened, I mean, I got different quotes and all that from here that I'll bring up, but one of the funny things that happened at the conference, it was on Saturday, and it was in a Baptist church building that the folks of that church, I don't even know if they knew anything about the network. There was no particular connection, but someone from Atlanta that was affiliated with Network happened to see the building and just stop by one day, drive by, say, you know, just check it out. Turns out that's where they had it. And so, you know, kind of a typical, nice auditorium, little balcony. And at the start of one of the sessions, Tim Chalice, who's part of the Network, pastor in Baton Rouge, great guy, he's kind of the host. So he holds up a Bible and he says, evidently someone left a Bible. And so someone turned this in to me that evidently they lost their Bible. If this is your Bible, then come in. It looked like a half-decent Bible from a distance. If this is your Bible, come see me afterwards. And someone commented from the group, Tim, that's one of the pew Bibles. And it was one of the pew Bibles that just got left on a seat out of the rack. And someone thought it was actually a lost Bible. So he's holding up, you know, a pew Bible.
Trying to give away a pew Bible.
If anyone lost this.
Well.
And so immediately someone says, I found a hymnal that somebody lost, evidently. If this is anybody's hymnal, let us know. And then the next session after the break, Tim's comes back in, and he said, said evidently somebody's lost a piano. If this belongs to anybody, they had a nice grand piano right up on the stage and all that. But that was, I mean, it was funny just to see the look on his face when he realized he just announced a lost Bible that turns out just to be a pew Bible.
Pew
so,
Bible.
So that was a lot of fun here. So. What else going on with you before I mention some of these
stuff going
here?
On, but I don't know. I'll tell you one thing I thought was just kind of funny that I read the other day. Now, I'm not a huge Star Wars fan. You know, it's just okay with me. I'm not opposed to Star Wars, but I'm just not a big sci-fi buff.
I have never seen an entire Star Wars movie.
I've only seen a couple. But I thought this was pretty funny, though. You know, they had to reshoot some of the main Star Wars scenes in some of the movies. I don't know how many movies, but you know why they had to reshoot them? Because, you know, they put the sound effects in later because the actors, the main actors, kept doing the laser sounds with their mouth. Now, I can't. I know you're going to make fun of me when I do this, but I'm secure, so I'm going to do it anyway. But they go, whoosh, zew, and they were doing this, and you can see it when their mouth was doing that, and they had to reshoot and tell them, just don't do that.
Keep your mouth closed.
Keep your mouth closed. We'll put the sound effects in later. And they had to reshoot some of the scenes. I thought that was pretty funny.
I can see how that would be kind of a
because you're used to
tendency to do that.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Anyway, okay, Andrew Farley preached the first night, Friday night. Great message. Just a few little quotes here. Don't have a lot to say on all these. See, grace is not just – see if you have any thoughts on these. Grace is not just a get-out-of-hell card. It's also a get-a-new-heart card. I'll repeat. Yeah. Grace is not just a get-out-of-hell card. It's also a get-a-new-heart card.
Yeah,
and that's
a
big misunderstanding.
Well, let me comment on that. One of the things we've done, I think one of the huge mistakes we've made in evangelical circles is that we've seen the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus as the gospel that gets you into heaven, but stops there. So it gets you into heaven, then everything else you've got to do to be either whatever we call victorious, to be a follower, to be a disciple, to live the Christian life is all extra, is all an add-on. We don't see grace as anything that's empowering or liberating now. It's kind of like, there you go, it's a get out of hell card, and then everything else is, you know, we add to the gospel, which is the problem. It becomes a patchwork of stuff onto the gospel, and that's our problem.
Yeah, we only see the gospel as just for the eternal destiny type of thing, which
Pastor
is good.
Tell me that one time. I mean, I thought we were talking about grace. He says, yeah, I believe in death, you know, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus and grace. But he said, but now what? After, you know, like, it's like, what do you mean? Like, you know, but I can see, he vocalized what a lot of people believe, that the gospel is, you know, it kind of gets you started. It's kind of the launching pad, but then it's all up to you. You know, I don't know.
That it just takes care of the penalty of what we do, but it has no power to change who we are or what we do.
You got
to
move on from the gospel. You got to move on from what Jesus did.
So that was a good reminder. Another thing he mentioned, I hadn't really thought so much about this. He says, we do not walk by our conscience. We walk by the Spirit. The conscience can be programmed by anything.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know that, I mean,
oh yeah.
A lot of people, you know, it depends on what culture you're in, what you were taught growing up. The conscience is often not a very good guide.
Oh no.
The whole
thing of let your conscience be your guide, I hope not. Because for some people, their conscience is very good with doing a lot of crazy stuff.
The 2 Peter 1, he reminded this verse, kind of forgot about grace, whereas it says, grace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. So, I mean, the idea that you can't have too much grace. You know, we hear that sometimes. You've got to balance grace with this or that. That, you know, saying you can have too much grace is like saying you can have too much victory over sin. Yeah. That, you know, so grace be multiplied to you in the knowledge. Thought that was a great point. And I've heard others mention this. I've heard him mention this before, but I think it's a good analogy. It says you're allergic to sin and you're addicted to Jesus. And so the whole thing of, okay, well, you're just telling people they're totally forgiven and they don't have to confess their sin to be forgiven anymore. And so, I mean, the thinking is, what's going to keep them from sinning? And a lot of people don't think they themselves will do that, but they're worried about other people. Well, the reality is part of that grace is not just what God has done for us, it's what he's done to us. That he has given us a new heart, where our spirit has been joined with him. Christ is our life. And so because of that, we are allergic to sin. I mean, if someone says, well, I'm really struggling with sin or really, you know, feeling guilty about some type of habitual sin. Well, the good news in that is that's why they feel horrible, because they really don't want to sin. And that is so liberating for people to come to that realization. Because when you, and that keeps you from being introspective, we talked about last time, but it also enables you to relax. Mm-hmm. That I can genuinely trust Christ in me and who I am.
Yeah.
Because I am addicted to righteousness.
Yeah.
And, you know, so if you receive Christ, that's who you are.
Let me say maybe somewhat similar way, but, you know, maybe a different side of the same coin. But, you know, we've talked about the fact that in the Bible, salvation doesn't mean just going to heaven. It really means wholeness.
Yeah.
Because God has made you whole. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, and with that, you get eternal life, you get heaven. But think about this, that when it says in Romans 1 and verse 16, it says that I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Paul says, the good news, incredible good news. I'm not ashamed of that.
So again, it's not just about getting to heaven. That, when he says that, there, it's about the entire life here now.
It's the power of God for salvation. So if you think it's the power of God for wholeness.
Yeah.
So if you want to be made whole, which means, you know, God puts you back together again where you have, I believe, joy and peace and love and, you know, really the fruit of the Spirit. He puts you together where you don't have a craving to go out and sin. I mean, I think being made whole kind of takes some of that away.
Now, the flesh is still with us. Yeah, we're not in the flesh, and so there is still temptation. There's that draw, but that's not coming from inside of us.
Right, but I guess the point, right, I agree. But the point is the power comes from the gospel. The power comes from the goodness. The power doesn't come from, you know, program or your willpower, which is not
or my disciplined schedule.
But the power is in the gospel. So when you minimize the good news, what you're doing is you're taking away the power. It was actually what they said, but Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17 and 18, he talks about that. He goes, God not send me to preach the, not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. He says, not with words of wisdom, is lest the cross be emptied of its power. In other words, it's power, but you can empty the cross of its power if you're just all about your eloquence. He said, the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, there gets the power of God. So the good news is the power. So when you qualify the good news, when you dumb it down, when you mix it with other stuff, all you're doing is taking away the power.
Yeah, and the power is not in eloquence. That is mentioned in that 1 Corinthians passage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Paul indicated he himself was not an impressive speaker in terms of public speaker. And I'm to that point, I'm sure you are too. I would much rather hear a very ordinary, ho-hum public speaker just simply talk about who Jesus is and what he did versus a whiz-bang personality that's just going to try to pump people up and mix long grace.
Well, I had, let me do a little shout out here. I've been attending my daughter Morgan's church, small congregation, and I found it to be a pretty good place to go. I mean, very, pretty much grace-based. I mean, very little that I would say differently. And the other day, actually on Easter, her husband preached. Troy preached.
Yeah.
And Troy is, you know, he's a fairly decent speaker, but he's not eloquent. He's not a flamboyant speaker. Yeah. But he went through the gospel and it was very good. Yeah. I mean, and I thought, you know, it's amazing. You can be, for me now particularly, I mean, you can be a fairly eloquent, polished speaker, but if the gospel's not in it, it just doesn't do a lot for me. I mean, it really falls flat to me.
Yeah.
But he did a great job. And it was just point for point of what God has done for us through Jesus.
And you leave thinking about, wow, look what God has done for us.
And I don't mean
Christ
to say he was a poor speaker because he really does pretty good jobs. But he was saying he would, you know, that just wasn't necessarily his forte. But he did a great job in laying out the gospel, I thought.
One of the other good speakers, Mike Q. Daniel. So it's first name Mike, last name Daniel. And so I guess there's a ton of Mike Daniels around. So he throws in the Q, the middle initial. And I heard later on what it stood for, but I can't remember now what it was. But anyway, Mike Q. Daniel had a lot of good things to say. And he talked about how our freedom in Christ affects our relationship with other people. And he had a comment, my freedom from Christ can be freedom for you. So if I know that I'm free in Christ, and he had the phrase, nothing to gain, nothing to lose, nothing to prove. Say that again. Nothing to gain, nothing to lose, nothing to prove.
Yeah, that's a great
If I'm
line.
Free in Christ, I'm not trying to gain anything. I'm not trying to lose anything. I know I'm complete in Christ. I have nothing to prove to you or to God or to anybody else. And when we walk in that freedom kind of spills over to other people in our life, you know, that they're free to be themselves. And they're more relaxed around us. So I love that. And then he had a
great point. That is a great point.
So, and he had we've talked about Christ as our life. And at one point, I love this quote. He says, and so it's the idea that, you know, we are new. We have a new heart. He says, your life is perfect. I've met him. I love the way he said that.
Yeah.
Your life is perfect. I've met him.
Right.
And that kind of capsulizes multiple things that we are. We are righteous by nature. Once we've received Christ, we've been joined with him. Yeah. We've been born again. And that nature is not a thing. That nature is actually a person.
Right. Righteous is a person.
Your life is perfect. I've met him.
Right.
I love that phrase anyway. Talking about how, and we, you know, they said everything that David, talking about David in the Old Testament, everything David longed for is yours in Christ. And I mean, that is, you know, that's a relatively easy thing to point out to people too.
Yeah.
You point out, you know, all these longings in the Old Testament. And he says this, he said, you are freer than you know.
Yeah.
And that's a great point.
Yeah, that's great.
I mean, it's, he pointed out 2 Corinthians 5:17, that familiar verse, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. I think I've heard this before. We pointed out that new creation, that means a new species.
Right.
That's not just a...
Right, there's two words
like
for new.
Like you traded an old car for a new car.
Bring out your Greek there for us, Jeff. There's two words for new, and one of them is new in time, one of them is new in character.
Well, I don't want to get too complicated for you, Roger, so okay. I'm going to...
Go my head,
I don't want to spend too much time in that.
And that was a new in type, a whole different kind of...
Right, so not like you had an old car and you just traded in for a new car. Yeah. You know, it's still a car, but a new species, a new in type. So John Lynch finished up the thing. He was great at the end because, one thing, he only spoke about 20 minutes at the end. And he didn't try to give new teaching. He just kind of emphasized, okay, lean in wholeheartedly to what you've heard. You've heard this great truth this weekend. It's all true. Just to lean totally into it. So,
now, I want to make a statement here, okay? Can I change direction a little bit? Now, this is a little rough, okay? So I want you can correct me. Chastise
a
me.
Rough, okay.
Well, you'll see.
I'm sure what you mean by
I'm getting there, Jesus. But I think in some churches, I think in some pastors, that they really kind of act more like a warden than a pastor. You know, a warden is there to make sure everybody in the jail behaves, everybody stays put.
A hall monitor or something.
Well, of course, hall monitor, warden's a little bit tougher than the hall monitor. Yeah. But, you know, really is kind of, I mean, that's kind of true in some places. He's there to kind of make sure everybody toes the line. Nobody goes anywhere. Nobody expresses any freedom.
Kind of comes across online, too, not just in sermons, but online. Yeah. Everybody be at church Sunday morning or, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know where I heard that, but somebody said that, and I thought, wow, that's kind of true. You know, a lot of pastors come across as the warden.
One of the most memorable talks was by Tracy Levinson, a lady. I don't know if you remember who she is or even know who she is.
I remember the name, but I don't know.
She's been on Wayne Jacobson's podcast a few times, a few years ago, so I never met her in person until this weekend. But she spoke Saturday morning. And so Tim Challis, you know, introduces her, gives a little brief introduction, and she's not on the front row. And I'm kind of like, you know, where is she? He just introduced her. And then you hear music playing. And it was that music, and I don't know who the artist was, several years ago, I don't guess it's a rap type of song, but it's an odd song you'd recognize. There were breaks in every now and then. You can't touch this.
Remember
that?
Yeah, that's
you can't touch this.
Oh yeah, you that's the that old MC Hammer song, I believe.
Okay, I guess you're more into MC Hammer than I ever was.
I'm,
but anyway,
I'm a lot more hip than you are, Jeff. Is it the addition?
So that music starts playing, and she starts walking up from the back of the auditorium.
And
she's kind of dancing, and that thing's playing while she's there. And then she gets up on the stage, it's still playing, and she's dancing, moving her arms and jumping around. And then every time that phrase jumps in, she stops and sings with it. You can't touch this.
Yeah.
And her whole talk was basically on eternal security.
Yeah.
And is basically making the point of Christ is in here, his righteousness is in here, his spirit is in here, and you can't touch this.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a great, a very vivid, she is extremely active and visual and moving and jumping and the whole time pretty much. I mean, you talk about high energy.
Yeah.
And I mean, she could have a workout. She ought to come up with a workout video where you could just watch her speak, listen to the message, and then mirror whatever she's doing, and you'd get your cardio in that way. But anyway, a great weekend. I think it's probably going to be in Dallas again next year. But had a great weekend, and you know, just come back excited, and you want to tell people about it. I mean, even more so than if you just came back from Bucky's.
Yeah, very cool. You know, MC Hammer's a believer now, too. Did you know that?
Did not know that.
Yeah.
Well, great.
He's done a lot of speaking and stuff. I got a quote for you, Jeff. Here you go.
I'm ready.
I think you've heard this before, but the gospel is not an invitation to accept Jesus. It is a stunning announcement that he accepts you. Eric Skidmore.
Sounds like. Did we put that in our book? or something close to it?
You know, we might have to think about it. I don't know, did we?
That's where you got it.
There's been a while since I've read our book. We're talking about Breaking the Hex, Life with God After the Cross-Killed Religion. Available on Amazon.
Did sell a few books, by the way, down in Atlanta.
Did you? So, yeah. All right.